And it's not just fruit and vegetables. You can get fruit and vegetables anywhere. It's just a feeling of a soul, a family soul, of a spirit, you know, wanting to be back 50, 60 years. That's what it is.
I'm Robin Sussingham, and this is The Zest. Citrus, seafood, Spanish flavor, and Southern charm, The Zest celebrates cuisine and community in the Sunshine State. On today's show, it's been a South Florida icon since 1959. We'll visit the legendary Robert Is Here fruit stand in Homestead. Plus, nice catch! Dive into the rules and recipes of Florida's spiny lobster season. Florida's lobster season is in full swing, and the state's Wildlife Commission has rules in place to ensure that it's not a free-for-all. Our producer, Dalia Colon, spoke to Tampa blogger Danielle Rose about the do's and don'ts of lobster fishing and how to prepare your catch.
I'm Danielle Rose. I'm from Tampa, and I have a food blog called Swanee Rose. And I love to talk about food, Florida, and all the things that we can grow ourselves, catch ourselves, and cook in our kitchens.
Things we can catch ourselves, like Florida lobster. Tell me about lobster season.
So we have these cute little lobsters in Florida called spiny lobsters. And they are, you know, it's more popular down south, but they're in a lot of Florida. You actually have to go and dive in the water and catch them yourself. They're commercially, I think you can trap them, but so it's kind of a fun activity that a lot of people like to do. So you get on a boat, you need a mask and snorkel and fins, or some people do full dive gear. You need a pair of gloves. I love using the ones that I garden with, which are the kind that you find like in garden centers that look like they're dipped and like a rubbery thing or rubbery substance. And so you put on your gear and you need a net and a tickle stick, and you look around and they hide, but not very well. You see their antennas. And when you see the antennas, you go and use your tickle stick and kind of tickle them out of their hole. And then you scoop them up with a net. And it's sometimes a little more complicated. They are pretty fast. They kind of curl up their tail and shoot through the water. So, you know, if you don't have your net ready, they definitely can get away. But it's pretty easy. I see kids do it all the time. So it's a fun activity. And then, you know, you get six per person. The carapace, which is the section on the top from like right around their eyes down their back, that first section needs to be 3 inches. And you have to have a measuring device with you at all times when you're lobstering, just to make sure no one's, you know, cheating. And you can't just eyeball it. You have to measure every single lobster. And honestly, we measure 3 times before we have them in the boat. Everybody measures them. When we're moving them from place to place, we measure again. And so the device is kind of interesting. It looks like a letter C, and if the carapace fits inside that, it's too short. So even if it's just like a millimeter off, you can't risk it.
So whose rule is that, and where do you get the device, on Amazon?
I think it must be FWC, and we find the devices at dive shops or like, you know, West Marine, those kinds of places. And we go in the Florida Keys mostly. That's where this is a really popular thing. People come from all over the state and even further to go lobstering, especially during mini season, which was July 24th and 25th. It's always the last consecutive Wednesday and Thursday of July.
So what's mini season for Florida? And then what's the full season? And is there a difference?
The lobsters have been growing and you haven't been able to touch them for months. And so there's a lot out there, and they open up this mini season just for 2 days. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, madness on the water. Everybody comes for this. And then there's a little break, and then the regular season opens this year, August 6th, and it runs until March 31st.
Can you describe a little more about what these lobsters look like versus the New England lobster we may imagine in our minds?
Well, they don't have the giant claws on the front, so that's the main difference. And the color is maybe a little bit lighter. They're speckly looking, and to me, I love lobsters up north, too. My husband's from Massachusetts, and those are absolutely delicious, and I love claw meat. But Florida lobsters are awesome because they're easier to handle. You don't have those, you know, giant claws to contend with, and they're fun to get. I mean, I can't imagine diving in, you know, New England waters to get lobsters. So it's a great activity, and the water in the Florida Keys is, you know, beautiful, clear, and it's so much fun, and also nice and warm. So it's great. You just hop in the water and catch your dinner.
So I'm picturing that you drive from Tampa down to the Keys, and then are you bringing the lobsters back to Tampa with you, and how are you transporting them? Like, I can barely keep my kids' cheese sticks cold for like 30 minutes. How are you keeping these lobsters, you know, at their peak for all those hours?
My parents are actually on Big Pine Key, so we stay with them. We cook them the same day, always. You know, we look forward to a lobster dinner that night. We love to grill them. That's the typical thing. So we split the tail in half, and we just pop them on the grill. I do flesh side down for a few minutes, and then we flip them. And so we'll throw corn on there and, you know, lots of other fixins and a salad.
What do you season it with?
It's very simple. Usually just a little salt and pepper, some butter, and key lime. Key lime juice is the greatest.
Mm. Everybody always says a little salt and pepper.
I know.
It must be true, though, if they're great lobsters. So are you putting like the butter and everything on when it's on the grill or after?
So I actually use like a high heat oil on the grill just to brush them with a little. And then afterwards, we're dipping them in butter.
Oh, man.
Or brushing them with butter.
Are you wearing a bib?
You don't need a bib. These are so easy to eat. So you don't have to deal with like cracking things open or any of that. It's just tail meat. And it's very simple. You just slice it. You pop it out of the shell and then slice it as you eat it. So it's not messy like those wonderful New England lobsters.
A lot of times people will take a lobster and like plop it into boiling water. How do you kill the lobster? I don't know how else to ask.
So we put them right away. They go in a live well on the boat, and then they go into ice, and that kind of stuns them. And usually by the time we get back to the dock, honestly, I turn my head. I don't do the killing part. But, you know, you basically have them stunned, and then you're cleaning them and, you know, removing the heads from the tails. I know. It's not a part that I enjoy.
This just took a dark turn. I may have to edit this out, but I felt it was important to ask. Yeah. Because if you really did want to prepare it, you would need to know all the steps.
Yeah.
What are some...
So for, if, say you want to save them, what we do is we take the tails, whole raw tails, so they're, the meat's still in the shell, and you wrap each one tightly with plastic wrap, and then you put them in a freezer bag. And so stick them in the freezer, and you've got lobster for the year. So I think that's how most people, I mean, you could vacuum seal, I guess. That's how we do it, to save them for the year.
Oh, nice. You can just break out some lobster when it's not even lobster season.
Exactly.
What are some other things you might need for this? Do you need a fishing license, and how does that all work?
Yes. So you need a fishing license, and then there's something called a lobster tag or a lobster permit that you purchase separately. It's just a little bit more money, and so you add that on, and you definitely have to have it. In the Keys, they are checking all the time. We follow the rules to a T. Because we've had way too many instances. We've known so many people that have been checked, and either, you know, they don't have the right permit, or the lobsters, they have too many. You can only have 6 per person, or they're very close size-wise. We just don't risk it. It's not worth it.
What's the rule about the size? Why do they have to be a particular size?
I think it's just to ensure a healthy population, and, you know, have a full-grown lobster and let the young ones grow up and have some for next year. It seems like a lot of rules regarding lobsters, but we have seen years where there haven't been that many, so I'm very thankful they enforce it.
Wow, it's very popular. Who knew? I guess you did. So what are some things you like to do with them? You mentioned grilling. What are some other ways to enjoy lobster, Florida lobster?
I also love making salads and having lobster on top. I think that's a really nice summery thing to do. And we make bisque every once in a while. Lobster rolls. So just like up north, we make Florida style lobster rolls. I put a little avocado in there and some key lime, you know, aioli, just to make it interesting and Florida style, of course. Also, we do this funny thing. Say you don't feel like grilling, you can cook them inside and you take the tail meat and kind of pop it out of its shell and keep it kind of connected so it sits on top of the shell. And you broil them, and they come out delicious every time. You know, of course, brush them with butter, a little salt and pepper, but they're delicious like that. And they have a nice presentation too. It's kind of like on the half shell, but they sit on top. Wow. And that looks cool.
And then last question, why are you passionate about this? You could go to the store and buy a lobster, but why go through the trouble of going down to the Keys and getting out that tickle stick and bringing the lobster home and cooking it?
It's all about being with my family, honestly. I absolutely love our days on the boat and swimming and, you know, coming back to the dock and making a beautiful dinner together. There's nothing better.
That was producer Dalia Colon speaking with Danielle Rose, who publishes the blog Swanee Rose. Danielle shared her recipe for Florida-style lobster rolls with avocado and key lime aioli and grilled Florida lobster salad with key lime vinaigrette, and you can find them on our website, thezestpodcast.com. Way down near the southern tip of the Florida Peninsula in Homestead, you'll find Robert Is Here, a long-standing institution selling milkshakes and tropical fruit. It's the kind of weird but somewhat magical roadside attraction that the state of Florida seems to specialize in. The Zest correspondent Janet Keeler visited recently, and she got to the store before sunrise to be able to talk to Robert himself. It was the only time he had any time to chat before the doors opened at 8 and the rush began. He told her that when you run a fruit stand, there's not much downtime, and he walked her through the tragedies and the joys of a family business. Take a trip with Janet as she explores this extraordinary collection of tropical fruit, but also what Robert says is the human spirit that keeps it going through the decades. You'll hear the big fans roaring as she walks around. It's an open-air market. It can get pretty warm there.
I'm walking around. Robert Is Here in Florida City, and the sun is just coming up to the east. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I'm looking at the different mangoes that he stocks. So I'm seeing a Valencia Pride, which is a kind of a big yellow elongated mango. It has a big elliptical pit, very, very thin. He also has Florida Reds, which is an unusual, for most of us that shop in grocery stores, a little bit of an unusual mango. It's very round. It has a beautiful red blush on the end where it comes off of the tree. And that's a really particularly sweet mango that a lot of people really like. The Kent mango he also has, which is a little bit smaller, and that gets a pretty red too. That is often many people's favorite mango. It has very, very little fiber in it, and it's almost when you cut into it and eat it, it almost just kind of squishes completely and falls apart in your mouth. Super sweet and a really lovely fruit. And he also has passion fruit here. And he has a note on it that says they're best when they're wrinkled. Tastes like a sweet fruit punch, says the sign. So that's interesting too. Mame sapote, you eat when it's really, really soft. It's a big, it almost looks like a giant overgrown almond. It could taste like a little fruity flan, a cheesecake, or even pumpkin pie, they say. Sour apples he's got, which are also very an interesting kind of lumpy looking thing. He's got guanabana, which some people say tastes a little bit like cotton candy. Also has the kit mango, K-E-I-T-T, which is interesting, a kit mango. And that's a very sweet mango, and it's actually quite big. So, you know, with mangoes, you want to wait till they're not super soft to eat, but just kind of give slightly to pressure, and then you know they're ready to eat. Also has a lot of sugar cane here, watermelon, guavas, little apple, Manzano apple bananas, which are very tiny, just about 3 or 4 inches long. Jackfruit, which is a very interesting fruit. If you've ever seen them hanging on trees, they're humongous, like almost the size, some of them double the size maybe of a big watermelon, and they have a very bumpy little skin. They taste like pineapple and vanilla, a very interesting fruit. You can get husk coconuts, so the husk has already been taken off, or the big coconuts that come from the tree with the husks on, and you can get a little exercise getting that husk off. When I was a kid, grew up in Puerto Rico, my father was in the military, and we used to pull the husk off the coconuts and smash the coconuts in the street and sit on the curb and eat them. That was a nice way to get our fresh fruit. He also has papayas, lots of papayas, beautiful watermelons. But then he has tons of other kinds of things, dried fruits, all sorts of preserves and things like that. We've got a mame sapote, sapodillo, which tastes a little bit like a pear with brown sugar. Some very interesting things here, and lots of good preserves. And then there's also vegetables too. He's got broccoli and okra and eggplant, celery, lots of tomatoes. In the back of Robert is here, there's an aviary with lots of birds in it. Lots of children visit the fruit stand with their families, so this gives them something to do and something to look at. There's a lot of animals out in back. As Robert says, he was a farm kid, and farm kids always have to have animals around. There's some parrots talking to us this morning. That little parrot is bilingual, but just with one word. He can just say hola. There's a lot of tractor equipment around here. This is awfully fun for a young kid to come and take a look here. There's picnic tables with tiki huts over them. Oh my gosh. Here's a giant ostrich and goats that are having fun climbing around a big pyramid. Lots of ducks. So besides the animals, which everyone can look at, and they don't want you to feed the animals, so they're real farm animals, but there's also a play yard here with a little playground and things for kids to do. Robert's really built a nice, it's really a roadside attraction, another popular Florida roadside attraction. Everybody's talking this morning. They're just waking up and the sun's coming up and they're getting to it out here.
I'm Robert. Robert from Robert is here. And what we do is we work to sell tropical fruit, and it turns out to be a little bit of an education for tropical fruit, you know, and everything, just life in general.
What do you have here?
If it's tropical fruit you're looking for, we got jackfruit, we have guanabana, have guavas, have mame, mango, papaya, avocados, passion fruit, canistel, the list goes on.
And where does the fruit come from?
Well, we grow a lot of it ourselves. We get growers here in the area that we get it from as well. And some of it I can get from around the world.
Tell me where the name comes from. Robert is here. Has to be one of the most unusual and interesting names of any fruit stand in the country.
Yeah. Well, when I was a little kid, my dad was farming, and he had cucumbers at the market and first picking, and they didn't sell. He went over there to get some money from Mr. I forgot his name. Anyhow, that was 60 years ago. The guy says, we're not even going to pay you because we didn't sell them and we're going to dump them. He said, no, I'll come back and get them myself. He needed boxes because he was completely broke and he couldn't pick his second pick in the cucumbers. He had no boxes. So he went and got his 400 bushel of cucumbers, dumped them out, and picked 400 bushels of new ones and brought them back. And he had all these cucumbers. They'd been in a cooler the whole time, but put me out here on a corner on a Saturday and absolutely nobody stopped. My mom and dad were thinking what the heck could be wrong with the little kid not getting any customers. Maybe they didn't see him here. So they put up two signs that proclaimed that I was here. And I sold out and walked home that Sunday. And we've been doing it ever since.
So Robert is here. Robert He's still here.
Still here, yeah. November, the second weekend, will be 60 years.
You know? Wow, that's fantastic. I was thinking as we were driving up here about what kind of damage you might have gotten from Hurricane Andrew in 92.
Well, Andrew was a disaster. And disasters use very easily these days. There are a lot of disasters. In the panhandle of Florida, they got what we got. It was just, you just can't imagine it until you see it. And everything, this building actually stayed. This is some original steel, believe it or not. But all the trucks I had parked around here were scattered all over the countryside from tornadoes. But it was bad. It was worse than bad. But we had a horrible thing happen to us 8 days prior to the hurricane. Someone murdered my mom in her house. And we were in a little whirlwind of our own. And the hurricane, as bad as it was for everyone else and myself included, it just didn't seem as bad as what had already happened to us.
I didn't know that happened. I'm very sorry about that.
That kind of like mellowed us out as far as, you know, how much can you take? And human spirit and body can take way more than you realize. Like a beautiful sunrise. I see that every morning.
What time do you get here?
This morning I overslept. I didn't get here until 6. Usually it's 5:30.
Yeah. So your daughter told me you got here that early. So your children are involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I got 4 kids. One's a full-time mom. She does what she can here, and she helps her husband with his business. And the other 3, 2 are boys. They help me here, and they farm. And then my daughter, the other daughter, the youngest one, she helps run the office.
Oh, that's great. So this sunset, so which way are we looking
that's
now to
sunrise.
See the sun? So this sunrise,
east.
Sorry.
The name of my book is Robert is Here, Looking East for a Lifetime.
I saw that on the sign. I was wondering what that meant.
So that's, every day I come up, I see the sun come up, I'm looking east.
Wow, that's a beautiful sight.
Yeah.
So who comes here? Who comes to the stand?
Usually anybody from around this world. Yeah, that's basically it. And it's not just fruit and vegetables. You can get fruit and vegetables anywhere. It's just a feeling of a soul, a family soul, of a spirit, you know, wanting to be back 50, 60 years. That's what it is.
So they're the heritage, too.
Yeah,
the heritage. So tell me a little bit about the milkshakes. When did that start and how did
that
happen?
My mom couldn't make enough jelly and preserves from the strawberries because we would pack them up real high in the packages and all the grayed outs would be. And we had to sell them somewhere, so that's what started it.
So then you can use the fruit that way.
And any other thing, too. Even make watermelon shakes.
We've had them. We've had a lot of them. I like the coconut mango. That's the one I do.
Yeah.
Are there some that are really popular?
Yes. You sell 2,000 a day on the weekends. Something's popular.
Which flavors?
No, all of them. Yeah. All of them. I got too many. I got anything you can imagine, you'll make a shake out of.
How's the mango season this year?
Mango's good. Always wonderful fruit. Very sweet. Even through very, very stressful times after hurricane and after big freezes, we get come through. It's human spirit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that's good.
It's just there. You know, there's no reason. You can buy fruit anywhere. There's no reason to be this popular. I come to work every day. It just goes. Yeah.
Are you open year-round?
Year-round, yeah. We tried a little experiment for 17 years because it's really hard to go 7 days a week, every day of the year. And that's what we did for 41 years. And we closed September and October. My boys were coming through high school, and both of them were playing on the same football team. And I said, damn, I want to spend more time with them. And I helped coach them when they were little kids. Even though my mom wasn't here to help us, we managed to do it all. And we closed September and October, so I can go to some of their games. And even when they were in college, I went to some of the games, you know. And a lot more difficult. They were up in Kentucky, so didn't get to go as many as I wanted to. Yeah.
So you said that was an experiment. So
it went 17 years, but no. We got so many employees now, it's so hard to close. And when we're closed, we work every day anyway, except for the weekends, painting and cleaning and fixing. And we got about 60 employees now. And it's hard to gather them all back up when you open back up. So we have to stay open and hopefully break even and try to paint and clean while we're open. Oh, my God, what a challenge that is.
Moving around people and everything. Yeah. Well, do you have favorite fruit here, things you like to eat?
I eat everything. Mangoes, guanabana, soursop. Mm-hmm. Soursop's a nickname. I don't know if you've heard of them before. But
I have.
Yeah.
And it's a nickname for what? The soursop.
Guanabana.
Oh, it is. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we have sugar apples and... Yeah, I love my watermelon too. As you can see, I've not missed a meal.
When's your most crowded time?
Sundays. Yeah, the bicyclists will come in. Yesterday was unbelievable with the bicyclists.
Ah.
Yeah. So.
Is that a new groups of bikes? Bicyclists? Is that a new audience?
Nothing new. It's been about 50 years. A tradition of, and midway through their ride, we were pit stopped. Yeah, nothing new at all.
That's a beautiful place. We've never been here, obviously, this quiet before it opens. Oh, yeah. We've been here many times, but it's usually quite busy.
Yeah. Well, it's a good time for me to get stuff done and things like that.
Okay. What a great place you have here.
Well, thank
and
you.
I can see how you'd say it has a lot of heart to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's got soul. Yeah. You know, yeah. The heart is, when we're here working it, the soul is just the, you know, it's...
It's like a living, breathing thing
yeah,
in a way, isn't
really,
it?
Yeah, it really, truly is. It's like going to see Old Faithful or going to see the Grand Canyon, you know. And I'm not trying to compare myself and make it be as vast and magnificent as the Grand Canyon or Old Faithful. But if you experience something that happened 60 years ago and it's still happening and it's human driven, you know, nature driven, yeah, thousands of years.
Yeah.
But... how many people can say they've been in business the same place for 60 years and I'm still not rotten in the grave, you know?
You look happy and healthy, so there you go.
Yeah.
Good.
Good. Well, I'm going to grab a few more things while you... Okay.
That was our correspondent, Janet Keeler, speaking with Robert Moling, who's been selling fruit in South Florida since 1959. If this conversation made you hungry, visit our website for recipes that use Florida fruits. Try the prize peach cobbler from the Junior League of Tampa's Gasparilla Cookbook or the Aren't You Glad It's Summer cocktail from the Epicurean Hotel. Thanks so much for listening. You can find recipes from our stories at thezestpodcast.com. And if you missed last week's show, we find out why we should take Florida wine seriously, and we taste a few. I'm Robin Sessingham. Dalia Colon and I produce The Zest with help from Megan Trimble, Mark Hayes, and Craig George. The Zest is a production of WUSF Public Media.